Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello.
Hello.
Are you okay?
I'm okay, yeah.
Are you sure you're okay?
I think I'm okay,
because something strange happened, didn't it?
Yeah. I'm not going to say it.
I'll say it then.
Okay.
I was looking out the window before.
I'm a bit embarrassed, actually. God.
Because I'm that age.
Oh, you're right. You were looking out for me. Were you looking out for me?
No, I was just staring out the window. Sometimes I just stand in the bay window and have a little stare out at the street.
Oh, you're one of those.
Yeah.
You're a bit young for that.
Yeah.
I like it.
Life's had its way with me. Oh. And I see you walk past.
Was I walking? That's good. Because at one stage I was running.
I'd say you were moving at speed. You're not a shuffler, but I don't consider you a brisk walker either. And you were definitely moving at speed. Mm. So what I thought had happened is you had parked, but you were going off to get a parking ticket from a machine.
Oh.
So I texted you, come back, I've got a voucher, parking voucher.
Yeah, yeah.
And then a couple of minutes later, you came back, but as it turned out, you were just lost.
How long have you lived here?
10 years.
I think... I don't know what happened.
But you've been here hundreds of times.
I parked in maybe a slightly different place.
On a different street?
No, same street.
Same street,
and
right.
And then I just kind of, I think I was just a bit
disoriented. And we live on one of, just to give people some context, we live on one of those streets where the doors have numbers on them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also there are points, presumably, by which you navigate by, like the local shop, Five Sapphires.
Well, that's how I realised I'd gone wrong, because I suddenly stopped running, because I did break into a run at one point.
Why did you break into a run?
Because I was late.
How long had you been running for?
not long,
okay.
Because I stopped running because I realised I'd run past the shop, which your house is before, and I was like, what's... And I was really disorientated.
How far away have you parked?
Well, actually, that's the thing. Maybe closer than normal. I don't know. I was on some weird...
Another thing that I don't understand is what efficiency in terms of time saving were you hoping to make with the running?
I don't know. A minute.
A minute? So your car is a minute's jog away?
No, it's... I mean, in truth, it's probably about a 10-second walk.
Right.
Look, what I'm going to say about this, none of it makes sense.
No.
So anyone trying to make sense of it is wasting their time.
And then you came in and you got all flustered because you had a birthday card. It's my son's birthday today. Yeah. You had a birthday card in your bag and then you were rummaging around for it like a nana. And and then it turns out you didn't have a birthday card at all.
I think I'd left it on the bed, but... It's hard to know when I've left things on the bed because there's so much on the bed during the day.
This is a very steep decline.
Yeah.
Can you smell toast?
Last week I was fine, wasn't
yes.
I? You're right, it's quite steep.
Yeah.
I'm hoping next week I'm going to be back up again. And it was just like
a
weird dip.
Let's hope it was a blip. Yeah. You also said this thing to me where you said, I've ordered Jean's present, but it hasn't arrived yet.
I know it sounds like a lie, but I can give you proof.
Go on then.
You want proof?
No, I don't.
I will if you want.
No,
give you proof.
The reason I mention it is that I then felt the need to go, you didn't need to get him a present.
Yeah, you did say that.
And, of course, you don't need to get him a present.
There's no need.
No.
But there's a want.
But why do we always say, there's no need? Like, you know there's no need to get him a present. You know that I don't expect it. But as soon as somebody mentions a present, or as soon as somebody gives you a present, oh, there's no need to get me a present.
We need to think of a better line that doesn't involve the word need.
We could just accept the present.
We could say, that's very nice of you. You don't have to bother.
Just that's very nice of you would do.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, you know your motivation for getting a present. And hopefully it's not fear.
Fear. No, it would be weird if it was fear.
Or judgment or whatever else would lead to using the word need.
Yeah.
So it's I'm never going to say that. That phrase is never going to leave my lips again. Okay. Oh, you didn't need to.
Me too.
Yeah.
Let's all stop saying
okay, good.
Present next week and card, unfortunately.
Well, we'll see about that.
Yeah, I might leave them at home again. If I find the place.
At home. Oh, Annabelle's found one. Should we put a little ID necklace around?
I don't.
I'll get a call because Tom's out of town, isn't he?
Yeah, I'm a bit worried.
Do you want to put me down on on that thing on your phone? Put me down under ICE
in
your contacts.
Thank
no, that's fine.
That's kind.
I was thinking this morning, I don't know why, or the reason why is uninteresting. I used to know a man 30 years ago. In fact, he died in 2001, so that's how long ago. And his name, as far as we all knew, well, we knew it wasn't his name, but nobody ever bothered to ask what his actual name was Dudley Smallpiece.
What a great name.
Mm. And he was commonly known as Cuddly Dudley.
Oh, even better name.
Now, he was a comedy enthusiast, and I got to know him in my time in Manchester, hanging around with my comedian friends in the comedy clubs there. And he was an enthusiast who then became involved in the local scene, not as a performer, I don't think anyway, but he would work the door at some clubs and he would flyer, and he eventually had his own comedy night that he booked, Cuddly Dudley's Comedy Night. Now, are you wondering why he was called Dudley by us, but it wasn't his name?
Yes.
Right. Well, it was because he bore a resemblance to Dudley Moore.
Okay.
So he was short, he wore his hair in the style of Dudley Moore, and dressed in the fashion of Dudley Moore.
Okay.
And nothing struck me as particularly odd about that at the time.
Mm.
And then I was thinking about him fondly this morning, and I thought, that's really strange. And I was really then trying to remember how closely, facially, he resembled Dudley Moore.
Mm.
Because I couldn't find any photographs, but I think the answer is not that much. But he was about the same height, about 5'2".
Okay.
So I googled how tall Dudley Moore was.
Okay.
And then I was thinking about that, and I couldn't make my mind up which is the stranger of the two scenarios. So you're short, but you don't look like Dudley Moore.
Mm.
But because you're short, you think, I'm going to train my hair to go the Dudley Moore way. I'm going to adopt a similar fashion sensibility. And even though I don't that closely resemble him, I will then give the impression of being a Dudley Moore-like character.
Hmm.
Or really looking like a famous person and then thinking, well, if you can't beat them, join them.
Hmm.
And transform yourself into a bona fide lookalike-y.
Yeah.
Which is stranger?
For me, I think the second one is stranger. If you can't beat him, join him.
Like, I look like a celebrity, so I might as well
have the same hairstyle.
And name.
No. But although maybe there are some perks to that.
Well, I was talking to a friend of mine about this, a call this morning, and he was saying that Dudley Moore was this huge celebrity and in his own way, a little sex symbol.
Mm-hmm.
So why wouldn't you lean into that?
Mm.
And here's what I find problematic about it. I don't think it's particularly sexy to anyone. I mean, I think the differences between men and women and what they find attractive are overstated. However, I don't think it's particularly sexy to anyone, but maybe you can give some perspective from a woman's point of view.
Mm.
If somebody assumes the identity of a celebrity that they're not, right? So you meet somebody and you think, oh, that guy has based his whole look, maybe aspects of his personality and his name on a famous person.
Yeah.
I don't think you're then thinking, yeah, that's the type of person I want to be with. And then the slightly darker side of it is, was he hoping that, if that was the case, if it was leaning into the sex symbol, was he hoping that, you know, there might be a case of mistaken identity and he wasn't gonna say anything if they didn't ask?
You take advantage of that situation. Yeah.
Which gets very dark very quickly.
I thought of another possibility. So if you think about it, Dudley Moore, rich man, must have been.
You're thinking of Arthur.
Had access to, like, probably one of the best hairdressers in the country. He had the best hair for that face. So if you've got exactly the same face, why not copy the hair?
So you think all famous people have the best hair for the face?
Okay, give me an example of the face.
let me think. I'll tell you who I was thinking about a lot in the light of this thing we've talked about on the podcast before. Those Rod Stewart guys.
Yeah, okay.
I love them. I mean, I don't think Rod Stewart these days, I don't think the hair is doing the face any favours. I think a lot of those older celebrities, no one loves Paul McCartney like I do.
Mm.
Not sure that some of what's going on with the hair is helping.
Oh.
Ringo, doing a good job there. But, you know, a lot of them are now at their, I'm going to use the word again for the second time on the podcast, they're entering the nana phase of their careers,
yes,
where something about maintaining a rock starish haircut into old age gives the appearance of an old lady at a bingo hall.
Yeah.
As was in our collective recollection of, say, the 1980s.
So did anybody mistake your Dudley for the Dudley?
I never heard of that happening.
Okay, okay.
Just like people don't mistake those Rod Stewart guys.
Right.
Because I was once in a really nice hotel. Sarah's parents were visiting. We'd taken them for a drink in a very fancy hotel bar in London. And in walks what was possibly Rod Stewart.
Okay.
So all the heads spin around and think, is that Rod Stewart?
Mm.
But the thing about all those Rod Stewart guys, like the answer is very quickly no.
Right.
So you straight away go from thinking, oh, is that Rod Stewart?
Yeah.
To thinking, oh, there's a ridiculous character who's modelled this entire look.
But maybe they're just getting a buzz out of that initial.
And then the terrible disappointment on people's
turning,
faces.
The head turning and then the face, yeah.
Those guys are used to disappointment wherever they go.
They must be.
Has anything arrived in the post this week?
That's an unusual
story. The e-post.
Do you mean the email?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, what did I give them last week? C+.
Yes.
I'm going to say there's been an improvement and I'm going to upgrade to B-.
B-, not bad.
Yeah. First one's from Jamie. A short cringeworthy moment has just occurred and I must lay some of the blame for this with the two of you.
Oh, no.
Most of the time I am a silent lurker in the podcast audience, but I have sent this email in right away so you can immediately conduct an internal investigation. I had just begun to enjoy the most recent episode on my train home. As I was heading to leave the station and I entered the pre-ticket barrier crowd, I was listening to Jeff's experience of describing his urinary tract issues on a public bus. As the story reached its climactic moment, I made a desperate attempt to suppress the terrible wave of public laughter that came upon me. While letting out a sort of breathy snort, my arm made an involuntary flinch and made contact with something, which, when I turned around, turned out to be a perfectly pleasant-looking woman who seemed quite shocked why someone would have thrown a punch in her direction. I pulled an expression which I hope conveyed that I was sorry, but was probably closer aligned to Jeff's pained expression, and then made a run for it. Sorry, Jamie.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
And sorry to that lady.
Yeah.
More importantly.
Maybe Sarah was right to berate me for letting my immune system get into a state where I would catch a UTI, because none of this would have ever happened.
Yeah. The knock-on of the consequence is terrible. This is from Alexandra, who asks the question, is repeat customer anxiety a Drifter thing or just an Alexandra thing? Do you ever walk into a clothing store and realise belatedly that you're wearing an item that is actually sold in this store right now and that you have to now publicly walk out with it again and it looks like you haven't paid for it? And is that realisation followed by lengthy imaginary conversations with store security people? One about how the store's surveillance system surely shows you walking into the store already wearing that jacket. Or about how the barcode on the just remembered book in your backpack surely proves somehow that you bought in a different store, not nicked it in the one where you're currently undergoing an imaginary bag search. Or by wondering where you find a lawyer very quickly when you're too drittery to just, I don't know, have one. There's a sliding scale of items, of course, one with underwear being perfectly safe on the one end and suspiciously pocketed items like gloves or a hat sending me scuttling guiltily out of the store as soon as I realise I've got them with me. I hope this isn't contagious. Otherwise, you're welcome, I guess. Life has just got more thrilling.
No. It's a hard relate
for
me.
Yeah. And then this is from Joe. Going back a few weeks, Jeff mentioned Channel 4 show about a pretend jury navigating a murder trial and how it made him question the British justice system. Having served on a jury myself, I completely agree.
Oh, God.
There should definitely be professional jurors qualified to reach a verdict, not some random people swept off the street. I just want to reassure any fellow drifters, though, who may be called up to do jury service, it's really not that bad. Admittedly, it's been nearly 20 years since I did mine and times may have changed, but most of what I remember was just waiting in a big holding room to be selected for a trial, a big enough room that nobody would try to talk to you. You could just sit and read a book or whatever.
Okay.
Let me tell you something interesting, though. I am a 100% fully fledged drifter to the core. Can't imagine anything worse than having to reach a verdict with 11 complete strangers. As soon as I was sworn in, though, something just seemed to overcome me. Suddenly, I just possessed the ability to voice an opinion to the group.
Wow.
On one particular trial, our jury's verdict was split, so the judge sent us out to reconsider. A middle-aged male juror wearing a suit and tie addressed the group with, "Which one of you lot is going to change your mind so we can all go home?" His opinion was opposed to mine. Meek, mild-mannered young slip of a girl me didn't succumb to the crushing peer pressure. Justice had to prevail. I summoned my newfound confidence and retorted with respect, I could ask you the same question. Several other jurors looked impressed. No one changed their mind, though, and we were replaced by a different jury for a retrial. I even acted as the foreman of the jury on another trial.
Wow.
I don't know what happened. They asked if anyone would like to volunteer, and I just felt my arm raising. There was nothing I could do to stop it. Thankfully, the verdict was not guilty because the defendant's family were waiting for me outside the courtroom to thank me for not sending him down. Anyway, I just wanted to let drifters know it's not that bad. You probably just spend a lot of time sitting around until called upon when some sort of superpower competence will overcome your body.
I think you should become a magistrate.
Yes.
You've clearly got a bit of a taste for it.
Yes, yeah. I'm impressed by how many she... I've never been called to jury service. She's
Me
done
either.
Loads.
Yeah.
Feeling a bit miffed.
Maybe you've been flagged.
I've probably been blacklisted.
Yeah,
haven't I?
Yeah.
For whatever reason, I don't know, but yeah.
Send us your story, please. We'd like to get up to... No. A B plus next? A B. Let's go for a B.
Let's not
story.
Go crazy.
Yeah. The email address is hello@adriftpodcast.com. Annabelle?
Yes.
Are you still, writing your Substack?
Oh, I am. It's nearly been a year.
It's very popular, isn't it?
Well, let's not get carried away.
What I'm saying is it's good enough that the people who found it, you know, they're not leaving. They're hanging around.
I'd say once a week I get an unsubscribe, but that's fine.
Not the image you want to be projecting.
I know. I just want to be honest.
I know, but listen.
Yeah. And also, I think these unsubscribes are people who found me elsewhere and just accidentally press the subscribe button. You know, they're not my people. It's fine. It's good to shed people that aren't your people.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Hone your audience.
Yes.
So how many what's the ratio of unsubscribed to subscribed like at the moment?
Oh, no, that's good. Yeah, that's good.
Oh, so you're still net positive.
I'm still growing.
Good.
I'm still growing.
But you'd like to grow faster.
I'd love to grow faster.
And taller.
And taller, bigger, taller, better.
Yes.
Yeah.
So people must subscribe to your Substack.
Yes.
And what will you be tackling this week?
This week I'm tackling, why is the 2p coin so massive? So it's less about my weirdness, more about the British currency weirdness.
I've got a theory on it, but I don't want to preempt your Substack.
Do you want to tell me it?
I think it's a relic from the era of the bigger coin.
There is some truth in that. Okay. There is some truth in that. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because all these things used to be a bit... Well, the 1p used to be...
The 5p used to be massive, do you remember?
Oh, huge, yeah, yeah.
They've all
and
got smaller.
And 10p's were a lot bigger
that's
as well.
That's why I'm so confused. They've all got smaller, but the 2p has this big lumbering giant of a coin.
That is it thought of as a classic? You don't mess with a classic.
I don't think... Well, it's not, though, is it?
No, very much not. No. I would, at this stage, eradicate... I mean, I'd like to see an end to cash.
Well, yeah, obviously, yeah.
But certainly eradicate coppers.
Absolutely.
Yes. Okay.
I'm even starting to like have little respect for a 5p because actually I think the 5p is too small.
Oh, yeah.
Why is it the smallest one anyway? You can read all about
Stop
it.
Stop speculating about this. Yeah.
So Annabelle Port, just Google me. It's Substack. Bit weird, quite normal.
Now, do you have another reason or another way in which you are not a fully functioning adult?
I do. I want to talk about crazy golf because I played a game at the weekend.
Mm, what brought this on?
Well, let me tell you where I played it. I played it at
an asylum.
I played it at the home of the World Crazy Golf Championships.
What?
What are you thinking? Somehow she's suddenly become a professional elite sports person?
No.
No, obviously not. I just happened to be on Hastings Seafront and that's where it is. And also, I didn't even know it was the home of the World Crazy Golf Championships until about 2 hours ago.
So while you were there, you had no awareness that you're standing on hallowed ground.
Although, I have to say, it is an impressive setup because there are three different crazy golf options. Mm-hmm. There are two kind of basic ones and one more advanced ones. So it was a quite impressive.
Are they labelled crazy, crazier and craziest?
No, but they should be. But am I alone in thinking this? Crazy golf, not that crazy.
Yes.
I think if we're really honest with ourselves, crazy golf is about as crazy as crazy paving. Maybe even less crazy than crazy paving.
You know, I think it shows that it was a very conventionally minded person who came up with it, who was desperate to get in the frame of mind that these creative geniuses get in. He's got to be a bit crazy. And attempting that, they would have gone like, oh, I've got a really crazy, this is crazy, guys. This is crazy. Yeah. What if it was like a golf course, but smaller, and it had a little windmill on it?
Yeah, yes, that's all it is.
Yeah,
all it is smaller and slightly weirder because they put a little windmill there, maybe a little lighthouse. But quite a lot of the time I found on this, I mean, this is the hope. Let me not forget, this is the home of the World Crazy Golf Championships. You're thinking possibly the best course in the world. A lot of the time, there's not even like a lighthouse or a windmill or anything. There's nothing. There's just a hole.
I'd like to know how the when you hear, all the greatest darts players come from our country.
Yeah.
And then it turns out no one really plays it apart from us and Dutch people. And occasionally Dutch people win it. But, you know, it's a much smaller country. So it's usually us just on numbers, really.
Yeah.
You know, I know crazy golf is more international than that because I've seen it in other places. Mm. But is it more a case of, you know, whoever the organisers of the World Crazy Golf Championships are might be Hastings based, for example?
Well, let me tell you, I did have a glance at the winner's table of the World Crazy, which has been going on for like, you know, maybe a few decades now, the World Crazy Golf Championships. And they have the flag of the winner next to the name.
Oh, yeah.
And honestly, you've never seen so many English flags. It's like it's the weekend of the Euros and England are in the final. There's occasionally, it really stands out, like maybe a Welsh flag.
Right, yeah,
I think like randomly there was a Spanish one, like must have been a Spanish person living in Hastings. But
Or somebody had done their family tree and wanted to appear interesting.
Yeah. It was, there was a lot of red and white.
Mm.
A question presented itself to me as I went to pay for me and my son to play crazy golf. At what age of my son will I stop lying about his age to get stuff cheaper? When will I stop hissing in his ear that he has to say he is X age once I've read the prices on the board?
What?
You don't do that? I mean, your child's quite tall.
Yeah, he's enormous, but that's not the point. I wouldn't do it.
You wouldn't do it?
No, I've done it the other way. We went to a Doctor Who escape room where you had to be eight.
I don't
mean so that we paid and supported the economy.
Yeah,
you wouldn't be allowed in, but I feel a little uncomfortable with this practice.
Really?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Then I think, oh, if we'd come 6 months ago, like he would have been five.
Yes, that's he would have come 6 months ago. Yeah, then.
You're actually making me feel guilty.
Yeah, I think it's. Yeah, you're taking money out of the business owner's pockets.
Why this?
And you're encouraging your kid to lie and break rules.
Yeah, to get things cheaper.
Yeah.
But why this arbitrary cut-off point? Of, like, what's the difference between a five-year-old playing and a six-year-old playing crazy golf? Why,
just feel the same about people smoking cigarettes, for example, or joining the army. No, but you're going to say yes to try and...
Yeah. No. No, but that's different. Okay, are you saying I need to go back to Hastings?
Yes.
To the world crazy golf course?
Yes.
And say, look, here's that extra £3.
Send them a cheque. Send them a postal order.
I say, I'm really sorry I lied about my son. They didn't, to be fair, they didn't ask me. I just said one adult, one child.
Well, I presume it's some bored teenager who didn't care.
No, it was an adult. I just said one. She didn't say how old is he, because they usually do. I have experience of this.
Really?
Okay, I'll stop doing it. You make me feel guilty.
I can't believe you did. You just don't seem the type.
I do.
I mean, I think of you as frugal.
Yeah. That's a frugal. You think is I've gone from frugal to dishonest, don't you?
Yes.
Well, I can't say that it's honest, I suppose.
No.
Okay. I'm suitably chastised. So we get our putters and our balls and our scorecard and our little half-size pencil. I did worry a bit about those pencils when most people started buying their stuff from Argos online, but it seems that the crazy golf industry, and probably the golf industry as well, is keeping them alive.
Yeah, IKEA, but they're always branded, aren't they?
Oh, yeah,
They're non-transferable. Yeah. And I suppose this is the same is true of those little blue biros and bookies if people are gambling online.
Oh, yeah. They must have taken a real hit. Mm. Anyway, here's what I find stressful about crazy golf. Unless you're there on a day when it's empty, there is usually a group ahead of you and a group behind you.
Oh, yeah.
Which means there is no escape from feeling like either A, you finished your hole too quickly and are waiting for those ahead to finish theirs and move on. But you don't want to feel like that. You don't want them to feel like you are waiting and tapping your watch and they're holding everyone up, even if they are. Or B, you're holding up the group behind you and they're waiting and tapping their watch and you need to rush and practically just pick the ball up and put it in that stupid hole and have it over and done with. I think I probably experienced the same amount of golfing stress at Crazy Golf as Rory McIlroy in the closing stages of the Masters.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, I mean, I must admit, I did Google famous golfer.
Nick Faldo.
Tiger Woods.
Who was that one? Do you remember we once read a news story out about some golfer? Because, you know, golfers get the yips. So famously, Tiger Woods. I believe is the less on the name.
Yeah.
Why am I always pluralizing things that shouldn't be? And then, famously, Tiger Wood, like his game once when people knew he was an unfaithful man.
Oh, yeah.
He never played the same again.
Mm.
And there was some golfer, I've got it in my head, his nickname was Monty.
Oh, yeah. Monty. Yeah, I know who you mean. Monty should know this.
I don't know if he got divorced. There was some tabloid story, I think, around a marriage.
Mm.
And there was a tabloid news story where just as he was taking a swing at a very important tournament, a voice from the crowd, and a golf crowd isn't like a football crowd, right?
Very different.
A voice from the crowd went, "Monty, I've taken your wife out to dinner."
Oh, my God. So civilised. That's the most civilised heckle ever. That's amazing.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Sent me some clippings.
I did.
Let's have a look what you think is of interest this week. Astronomers have discovered an enormous black hole, not one of those small ones, but an enormous black hole, which formed in the aftermath of an exploding star a mere 2,000 light years from Earth. BH3 is its name. Hmm. Exactly.
Terrible name.
Like, just do what the Wombles did and stick a pin in a map.
Yes.
And just call it after somewhere. I think it would be fine.
And then that's thrilling if it happens to be your hometown.
Yeah, I mean, it would be quite apt, actually, for Macclesfield, for a black hole to be named after Macclesfield. BH3, Macclesfield, is the most stellar black hole yet found in the Milky Way. It was a complete surprise, said Dr. Pascal Panuzzo, an astronomer at the Observatoire de Paris. I love that word, Observatoire.
Observatoire, yes, nice.
It's like the Laboratoire Garnier, but the Observatoire de Paris. It is the most massive stellar. I think I'm thinking of a Mitchell and Webb sketch about the Laboratoire Garnier. Does that ring a bell?
I don't know.
Yeah. It is the most massive stellar origin black hole in our galaxy and the second nearest discovered so far. When I read that, do you know what I think?
Mm-hmm.
Come back when it's the nearest.
Yeah.
I just don't. If we've already got one near, if one's closer.
Mm.
I feel like I should know about that, just in case.
Yeah.
If it gets up to any of its shenanigans.
Yeah, yeah.
Starts sucking stuff in.
No thanks.
No.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's okay. I don't need to know.
Don't need a list.
No.
Like, yeah.
No. I still don't like the phrase black hole. It feels very lazy to me.
Oh, really? Why?
It feels very first draft.
Oh, you think that's the first thing they thought of and they thought that'll do.
Yeah, but it wasn't because John Michel... When I first read that, something not right about a prescription in my glasses. When I first looked it up on Wikipedia, it was small. Oh, and I refused to have the print any bigger.
Oh, okay.
I'm still on the smallest text size on my phone because I think it would be conceding defeat to do otherwise. Where are you?
I didn't know you could change the text size. Now I'm very interested.
Do you think most people our age have got slightly bigger text size and I feel superior to them? When I look over somebody else's shoulder and the font is bigger.
Really?
I think, well... A lot's come wrong in my life.
But I'm not there yet.
Yeah. So I thought you said Joni Mitchell. So I was sort of excited. And then, but Jean-Michel used the term dark star in November of 1783 in a letter. I mean, would the guy at the other end have known what it was?
There's a dark star.
What? Mm. That was the first time it was called. In the early 20th century, physicists used the term gravitationally collapsed object.
Don't like that.
But the term black hole is traced to physicist Robert Dick, who in the early 60s reportedly compared it to the black hole of Calcutta.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's terrible.
I don't think it was very nice in the black hole of Calcutta.
No, I know. But yeah, I mean, I think it's a bit disrespectful, isn't it?
Well, wasn't it a horrible prison, the black hole of Calcutta? So who are we disrespecting, the prison or the hole?
Well, the prison, I think. I just think it must have been really horrible for them there. So, like, why?
No, but let me just say...
Let's not make a joke of it. Like...
No, but I don't think they're making a joke.
Okay, fair enough. But why would you steal the name of a prison?
Well, steal. No, that's
like calling something Belmarsh or something. It's weird.
Yes, yeah, that is weird, isn't it? Yeah.
Hmm.
You know, I think the fact that the prison was already called the Black Hole of Calcutta was probably just coming up with a pithy name rather than addressing the underlying problems.
Yeah.
I mean, if you've got a prison you're calling the Black Hole, I think... Worry less about what you're calling it and worry more about prison reform.
Maybe it's just a deterrent and actually it wasn't all right, was it? It was awful.
I believe so, yeah. So that's second nearest black hole. What else sent me? Oh, yeah, this. Stonehenge.
Oh, yeah.
A project has been launched to delve into the lesser understood links that may exist between Stonehenge and the moon.
What?
During a rare lunar event, a major lunar standstill, which takes place once every 18.6 years, when moonrise and moonset reach their furthest apart points along the horizon, will take place next January.
Do you understand any of that? But honestly, do you understand any of that?
Not really.
Okay, good, good.
Not really.
Good, good, good. The stuff about the moon, I mean, like.
I enjoy saying moonset.
Right, yeah.
But moonrise, I feel that word's been on my lips before, but moonset, never.
No.
Is this such, I remember somebody said there was such a thing as a moonbow.
What?
Oh, I don't know. Like a glow. Well, now we're going to have to Google the word moonbow.
Oh, God.
Why did
sorry.
I say moonbow?
Sorry, sorry.
Moonbow. Oh, here we go, yeah. A moonbow, sometimes known as a lunar rainbow, is an optical phenomenon caused when the light from the moon is refracted through water droplets in the air. I want to see
that
one.
Sounds amazing.
I'm going to show you a picture of some. There you go. One of the moonbows all the way around the moon, and it looks a lot like how the moon looked before I had my cataracts removed.
It is quite nice.
Yeah, there we go. Sorry, I didn't mean to get distracted by moonbows there. So,
something about the moon that I don't understand. Thing.
So, next. No, we're not going to the next one. We're staying on this one.
I know, but the next bit of the story, I mean, yeah.
Anyway, this major lunar sand standstill will give archaeologists, astronomers, and archaeoastronomers. Come on.
What? Is that a job?
Well,
archaeoastronomers.
It's a portmanteau, isn't it?
Archaeoastronomers.
Just pick a lane and stay in it. You could be interested in both things. We don't need a new word.
I'm trying to think how they blend together, and I can't, but...
Because you're not digging up the moon, I wouldn't have thought.
No. Archaeoastronomers. No, I don't know.
A rare chance to explore theories surrounding the event and the ancient people of Stonehenge. Do you know what I have no curiosity about at all?
Mm.
Stonehenge.
Okay.
I'm pleased it's there.
Yeah.
And I think, oh, look, there's something left from an ancient civilization.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything interesting, though. You know, people are always like thinking, what is it for? There's burials, there's this, there's that. You know, could it be the way the sun lined up here in this star? And even if it was,
yeah.
It was nothing good. No, I'm sorry it wasn't. Yeah. Think about things we have now, Instagram Reels.
Right.
Or a remote controlled drone.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever they were getting up to.
Yeah, it's very basic.
It was not as good as either of those things.
Yeah. And it probably was just some big rocks.
And then when people say, but how did they get there? I sort of think, I think there will be an answer one day, and you'll just go, oh, right. Yeah. They didn't have hoverboards. Do you know?
If you saw a news article and the headline was finally discovered how they got the Stonehenge rocks there, would you
click
on it?
It'd be like some... I don't know if I would.
Right.
Like if it was contained within the headline... I'd skim it.
Right.
But I wouldn't actually click the link, I don't think.
If you're listening to the radio and they said, and coming up the headlines, finally they discovered, how would you turn it off?
I wouldn't zone out like I do with the sports news.
Okay.
But if they said, coming up later on Newsnight, we're going to be telling you how they got those stones there. I can usually do 11 minutes.
I'll look at my phone and watch it at the same time. No, so I'm not fully committing.
I can usually get, there's a bit of a film explaining some big news thing that's going on. And then there'll be a couple of people that get to argue with each other. And then generally I'm out at some point in that.
Okay.
I've got the headlines at the top. I don't need to be sitting through to the how... Unless it's if they said, I'm just trying to think. I was going to say, if they said, we found out that primitive civilizations rode woolly mammoths who dragged the stones there on ropes tied to their tusks, I'd then just think, and we'll tell you more about that later. I don't need to know any more about that. No, that's enough.
Yeah. What if you just saw a headline and all it said was, shocking way that they put those rocks there? Would you, be honest, you'd click on that, right?
You will not believe what Stonehenge looks like now. Yeah, possibly.
Okay, good.
Possibly so.
I'm glad those headlines work.
All right. One more story that you sent me.
Okay.
This is on the BBC.
Okay.
Sorry, this tickles me. I just think it's funny in its own right, this story.
Okay.
That it's the news.
Oh, okay.
It's like something from Viz.
Okay, go on.
a retired you know which one it is.
I don't.
A retired set decorator.
Oh yeah. Oh.
Who worked on iconic movies has said he knew Star Wars was going to be a hit.
Oh.
Alf Hunter from Boreham Wood in Hertfordshire worked on the first three films in the sci-fi franchise. The 90-year-old, who started working at Elstree Studios in 1951, said, I told George Lucas that I could tell when a film was going to be a winner. Star Wars was up there. I mean, a couple of things.
Yeah.
Firstly, I want to see the data on his ability to pick a winner.
Yeah, I want to see all the ones he said, and I want them to align them with the box office figures.
I'm just wondering if people just remember the ones where they said, I knew that was going to be a hit. Whereas when they're working on something, go, what on earth is this?
Mm-hmm.
And then occasionally you'll get the person who said, well, this will never be a hit, and they love telling that story.
Yeah.
Also, he's talking to George Lucas at the time.
Oh, right, yeah.
This is a man painting a set talking to the director.
Yeah, the big boss.
I'm imagining it's not an uncommon thing to say to curry favour with these people. I think you've got a hit on your hands.
I think it'd be with the set decorator, George Lucas, a quick word. Got a few concerns. I don't think this is going to be a hit. Like, that'd be the story.
Yeah. Some more from this story.
Okay.
His daughter, Lisa Hunter, 53, said that she clearly remembered visiting the Star Wars set as a young girl and going inside the Millennium Falcon. Mm. So 53. So that makes her born in 71, right? So a couple of years older than I was. Star Wars was probably being made in 1976, something like that.
Okay.
I think if you have a strong memory from that point in your childhood, often there's just a little bit of trauma associated.
Oh.
She said, back to the news article, I didn't know what it was at the time, but I remember Dad telling me not to touch anything. So there was no sense of awe, right?
Yeah.
Because she's a little kid and Star Wars isn't a thing.
Yeah.
It's just like a load of stuff.
Yeah.
Because remember, a set, when you're on it, doesn't look like a set looks on screen.
Mm-hmm.
It's not exciting in the way that going to Madame Tussauds is.
Mm.
So it's like a bunch of stuff. And I'm imagining that there's some circumstances happen where he's been dumped with his kid for the day.
Right.
And then she's at work with him. He's like, don't touch anything. She's petrified.
Yeah, that's the trauma. Yeah.
Back to Alf. Why is this a news story? Mr. Hunter wishes he had written a book. Sorry, which would include the time that he took Elizabeth Taylor to the local pub.
Oh, that's a good story.
And. How he called Clint Eastwood a big, handsome git to his face.
What?
Now, I'm not in the publishing world.
Mm.
But unless there's some other detail we don't know about Elizabeth Taylor at the pub.
Right.
I think that story has already been dealt with.
Okay.
And us knowing that it happened.
In that sentence, yeah.
It's a bit like we're back to the Stonehenge in the headlines.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure complimenting Clint Eastwood with an unusual choice of phraseology is also the stuff of legendary autobiography. Here's the thing. I think dip your toe in the water with an e-book.
Do a Substack, maybe.
Yeah. Last bit from this article. Mr. Hunter said that if he got to do his career over, he would want the same job. And, from his experience, the bigger the star, the nicer the person.
Oh.
I can say two things here.
Mm.
Number one, Judith Chalmers. Number two, cast of the 2016 Hollywood Ghostbusters reboot.
Okay.
What I've just done there is disprove his theory.
Okay.
Quandary Corner at the GLAP Clinic here in Problematic.
I'm putting my glasses on.
Get them on!
In preparation to read the quandaries.
They really take up a lot of real estate on your face, those, don't they?
You don't like them.
I'd go just a shade smaller, I think.
Well, you know what it is? I go into Specsavers and I just buy the cheapest ones, so £15.
Oh, they're from an optician.
Yeah.
They look like they're off a rack.
They are off a rack, but an optician's rack.
In a one that twizzles round in a chemist.
They're literally marks on the side of my nose. But anyway, yeah. Nobody sees me when I'm reading, apart from you and Tom.
I know, but you know.
But what?
He's your lover.
What? Yeah.
But
he's this lover who goes to bed with his mouth taped up with like blue tape.
I thought he wasn't doing that anymore.
He started again.
What brought it back on?
Don't let him talk about it.
Okay. What about?
Okay. First one.
How old is he?
39.
When's he 40?
Next year, yeah.
Oh. Have you thought about what any of this stuff might look like at 50 and then 60 and 70?
Can't wait. Okay. Imperial Queen Eileen. I am lucky enough to be able to walk to work at the local school. I have a car, but choose to leave it at home for two reasons. Primarily, parking at or near school is to be avoided at all costs, need I say more. And it's a pleasant walk, approximately a mile gently uphill and so downhill at the end of the day. I plug in my iPod, select a playlist and I'm on my way. I enjoy the walk immensely. My routine is to only take the car when it is very, 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 very heavy rain. To cross a busy road, there's a pedestrian crossing. There are two village schools, so there are lots of children going in both directions. I find that drivers are mostly kind and stop to allow the older children, mothers with younger children and others to cross. Or sometimes the traffic is just slow and you might get a nod to shimmy between the stationary vehicles. I prefer the traffic to be moving and cross when there's a safe gap. Then I don't have to think about acknowledging their kindness. This particular morning, the traffic was flowing, and as I waited for a gap, a car stopped unexpectedly, and the driver is gesturing to me. To stop and wave seemed odd. No, she was inviting me to get in. She's mouthing, "Get in, get in." It's a colleague from school, one I don't see very often, but I recognised her smiley face. She had stopped the traffic, not to allow people to cross, but to offer me a lift. I had to make a split decision, get aboard or wave and walk on. What to do? No time to think it through. I knew it was wrong. I did as she asked, opened the front passenger door and got in. I caught a glimpse of the driver behind her. He was not amused, and probably every driver that witnessed it was infuriated too. I didn't have time to remove my rucksack, my knees up against the dashboard. It was an uncomfortable ride.
Even if you can't get your coat off and your seatbelts on at the end.
I acted like I was pleased to see her and grateful. I have started something now. How do I stop this happening again? Accept any future offer gracefully, start taking the car and stress over the parking. Ideally, I want to continue my solo walk. Help. First of all, I feel your trauma.
Yeah. Like,
that was an unpleasant experience.
Yep.
But I sort of think you did the right thing.
Oh, yeah, you did. So here's what... I don't think you could do anything else in that moment.
No. She's stopped, she's waving it in. It'd be worse to say no.
And... I think there's an easy thing that you say, but the trouble is picking your moment. So in other words, I don't think you could have said this thing then, but it would be weird for you to just say, oh, I wanted to bring something up. If you ever see me walking. So here's what you say. Oh, I'm getting my steps in. I'm trying to do my 10,000 a day.
Ah, that's brilliant.
So everybody understands that.
Yeah.
But it's when is the right moment? Hopefully there'll be a moment where she offers you a lift, but there isn't an enormous queue of bibbing, angry traffic motorists behind her.
I mean, they work together, right? Yeah, they work together. So it's something that could be brought up.
Because it's his thing. It's weird to bring up apropos of nothing.
Okay, but you could sort of talk about a lot about getting your steps in, like... out of nowhere, and how much you enjoy your walk and getting your steps in.
Just stay on the steps.
Don't get distracted by anything else. Yep. Stay on the steps.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Maybe you could get a very large stepometer.
Maybe you could get a very large stepometer.
What is a stepometer?
I don't know. A pedometer on the car.
Pedometer. Yeah. Okay, let's move on then to Alice. One of the mums at school, one of those mythical beings, a hairdresser, sent me an invitation to her wedding reception. was really surprised because she's nice and we get on well, but I wasn't expecting to be invited. And my immediate reaction was, oh, she sent this to me by mistake. And now she'll be too embarrassed to retract it. So what do? Say, oh, how lovely, thank you. No, I reply, did you mean to send this to me? Yes, of course, she says. Realising I must have sounded like an idiot, I reply saying, thank you, we'd love to come. But now I'm wondering whether I should try and explain myself or whether I should adopt the port protocol. What must she think of me? This keeps popping into my head just as I'm falling asleep and making me shudder. What do you suggest?
I mean, you've answered your own question there. It's the port protocol, and then this will periodically torture you for the rest of your life.
I do. I mean, it is quite excruciating.
Yeah, but,
I mean,
but,
if you ever find a time machine, go back in time and change that one thing.
Yeah, but until
it shouldn't have happened. I'm not blaming you. No. It's just a mistake, but it was, oh, it's bad.
You have to carry that weight a long time now. You have to, you know, it will come back. You will have forgotten all about it, maybe. And then all of a sudden you get a terrible pang and remember it. And that's just how it's going to be for the rest of your life.
Can I make a small suggestion?
If you want. I mean, you're the inventor of the port protocol.
Get terribly drunk at the wedding and then say to her, oh, God, or even pretend to get terribly drunk at the wedding and say to her, oh, God, I'm so happy you invited me. Like when you first invited me, I just thought, oh, I didn't think she liked me that much. Like, make it about you and your own insecurities. That's why I said that thing, but I was so thrilled to be invited.
Yes.
Okay.
That was so efficient.
You've got some options there, Alice.
Yeah. All right. Let us know how it goes for the rest of your life. Being haunted by. Yeah. That's...
Regular updates, please.
And that was our podcast. Thank you for listening. Send us your quandary or your story. Let's get up to a B grade for next week. It is hello@adriftpodcast.com. Thanks to Man and the Echo for the backing music and to Emily Harrison for the incidental music. Carla Gowlett took our photos. Kim Rainey. Do you know what? She emailed me as we were talking about her last week.
Oh, would you believe it?
So strange.
That is weird.
Kim Rainey designed our artwork, and I was just thinking again about Dudley Small Piece, Cuddly Dudley.
Yeah.
And I remember this is an old joke, it's not mine. What is the, and I'll clean it up because there's a profanity. It's funnier with the profanity in it, but I'm not going to leave the profanity in.
Okay.
What is the worst thing that Willie Nelson can say to you while he is making love to you?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really Willie Nelson.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh. Is that name interchangeable?
Dudley Moore. You're ready for this?
Yep.
Podication?
Yep.
I wasn't about to start going, dun, 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 dun. What is that one?
No idea.
You're ready for this?
Oh, yeah.
Better start before we have to pay royalties. Before record companies start offering us multi-million pound contracts.
Yeah, that as well.
A cappella group.
Yeah.
Johnny James says, dear Jeff and Annabelle, I wanted to request a podication on or around the 18th of April for my friend Katie. 17th of April is what you got. Pretty close.
Very close as I could get.
Kate and I have been friends for nearly 20 years now. Excuse me. First meeting at university and somehow managing to keep in touch through all the ups and downs of adult life. Anyone getting one day vibes here? Because I'm not.
No, I'm not.
She's the person who introduced me to you guys, firstly on the radio, and then later we both followed you to the podcast. Thank you. Thank you for making that journey.
Yeah.
We're like Moses leading the Israelites through the wilderness.
A little bit.
No, exactly like that.
Oh, sorry.
Whilst Kate lives in London, I live now in Canada, and we don't see each other that often, but I wanted her to know that I still hold her friendship close to my heart. That is lovely.
Mm-mm.
Because I think if I moved to Canada, I would sever all ties with people from my former life. I was sad to not be able to make your recent live event for the 300th episode. It was disappointing, actually, that you weren't there. I couldn't really understand why somebody wouldn't travel from Canada.
Bewildered.
To see us meandering on a stage for an hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah.
But I was able to experience it secondhand through Kate's retelling of the event, which, in typical Drift fashion, went from her memories of a brilliant evening to her remembering all the things she perceived as embarrassing that she did, especially in the presence of Jeff and Annabelle. Sorry, I'm laughing at a phrase that's coming up. In the presence of Jeff and Annabelle at the meet and greet afterwards. I didn't think of it as a meet and greet.
Oh, it was very much a meet and greet. So everyone was calling it the meet and greet. I loved meeting Kate. She was fantastic.
Yeah,
that
I did great. Too. Yeah. It was so weird. But the idea that it was a meet and greet rather than we just finished and then we went off stage to where everybody else was.
Yeah.
I wanted to podcast an episode close to the 18th of April as it will be the second anniversary of Kate's dad passing from cancer. I'm sorry to hear that, Kate. And they're funny, aren't they, these dates? They, you know, they are and they aren't significant in that you can't help but think about them. But then it's something completely out of the blue that'll get you on a day when you just weren't expecting it. I know she likes to put on a brave face on this side of her life, but I also know she misses him dearly, I bet. So I wanted to send her my best wishes and love for the fond memories I also have of meeting Kurt. Sorry, I put the also in there.
Okay.
I thought that was sick. I didn't want Kate to think Johnny was equating his experiences of knowing her dad to hers across a lifetime as a daughter.
Right, right.
Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
And I feel that my also may have suggested that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I should really make the font size bigger on my computer. I do hope to see her when I'm over in London soon. I hope you do too. You guys, spend some time together. Life's short, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, you either decide to shed your friends, which is what I would have done if I moved to Canada, or, you know, these ties become more important with age, which is what I'm forced into doing by not moving to Canada. Very best wishes, Johnny. Well, there you go. Kate, hopefully Annabelle has released you of all shame.
Oh, yeah.
Embarrassment. Because
zero shame. Yeah,
it was good to meet you.
Yeah.
And yeah, you guys hang out. Where should they go? He's in London. I mean, I've already mentioned Madame Tussauds.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to think if there's anywhere else in London.
I can't think of anywhere off the top of my head.
Sarah and Jean went on a cable car near the Millennium Dome the other week, but no way. I don't recommend that.
Okay.
Cable cars are horrible things.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Madame Tussauds.
Okay, cool.
And if you'd like a podcast, email us. It's hello@adriftpodcast.com.
That reminds me that I'm about halfway finishing. Halfway finishing.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.